Good morning, everybody. It's a dog in the kennel on a Monday morning, November 7th, 2016. Thank God the election is tomorrow. Oh my, 18 months of purgatory. We're finally going to figure out who wins these various elections, both locally, statewide, and nationally. Thank God for time. It is finally clicking away. My clock is moving this morning. We did fall back over the weekend, so I hope you enjoyed your extra hour sleep. I know my friend Jim Sonacropi, the owner and director of this show, is thrilled because I know he goes to bed at 1 or 2 in the morning. So that had to help you, Jimmy, getting an extra hour sleep.
Yeah. Yep.
I think of Jimmy, I go to bed at 9:30. He goes to bed at 1:30, 2 o'clock. My God.
Should do daylight savings like once a week.
Yeah, I know. Well, today we're going to do a show. We have no guests. We're going to do, between me and Jimmy, kick around some sports topics, talk about Notre Dame, talk about SU basketball, football. We're going to talk about a lot of topics. We're also going to give my views. Let me repeat, my views and my endorsements of various candidates that are going to be running and that we'll decide, the voters will decide tomorrow. Again, I must repeat, these will be my endorsements, my picks, and please do not send Jimmy an email upset with my picks. Jim does not endorse any of my picks. These are not from Finger Lakes One. This is from Weber This Week. So let's get that clarified before you go ballistic if I don't pick your name as one of the people I think I'm going to endorse. All right, Jimmy, let's talk. First off, let's talk about some sports topics before we get into the election and how I think this may turn out in certain races. And by the way, let's give kudos to my friend Josh Durso, who does an excellent job. Not only does an excellent job writing an article every couple of weeks with the Finger Lakes Times, very poignant, very direct, very informative articles. He does an outstanding job, and he does a great job here on his show, and also does a great job with debates. The debate the other night between Baldrige, Helming, and Rayburn, I thought were spectacular. So, Josh, kudos to you. Great job. Well done. And I look forward to more of them in the near future. Jimmy, let's talk about SU. Of course, that's a hot topic. Your impressions early on. I know it's too early to talk basketball, but it's not really too early. What's your gut feeling about being ranked 19th in the preseason poll, which I thought was an insult to Boeheim's team, because from all the prognosticators around the country, they thought Syracuse has one of the best teams. When Boeheim himself says he may play 9 or 10, were you shocked at 19th seeding?
I don't think that people that vote in these things pay that close attention, honestly, and I think it's better for Syracuse when we fly a little bit below the radar. Early in the season, we were unranked when we won the national championship in 2003. Sure. But, yeah, they're deep. You know, whether Boeheim's going to play 9 or 10, I don't know. I really don't think so. I think he'll stick to his, like, rotation of 7 and 8 once it gets right down to it.
Yeah.
In the bigger games. But it's a new season, some new faces, a lot of new faces, six new faces on this roster, if you count Pasquale Chukwu, who's the transfer from Providence, who was with the team last year but didn't play any games. He had to sit out. But there's also John Gillen, the grad transfer from Colorado State, who's going to play some point guard along with Frank Howard. And then there's Andrew White III, the fifth-year grad transfer from Nebraska. And then you got the three freshmen, Moyer, Torian Thompson, and Tyus Battle. So it's like a totally new-look team. They're going to be great. It's going to be a great year.
It is.
And we talked about it on the Upstate Orange podcast last night, our season premiere episode, Brad Conner and I.
And Brad, and you do a good job. You guys are well-schooled, and you guys can go back many, many, many years, which I've watched your podcast and talk about players that I remember playing, but I can't recall their names. You guys have it at the tip of your tongue. It's impressive. By the way, let's talk about SU football. Of course, many people, including the coach, said, when asked about playing in Death Valley, Clemson over the weekend, before the game, obviously, last week, I think Wednesday or Thursday, he said, give me a slingshot and a rock. He basically, the line was 27. They doubled that line, 54-0, never a game. Dungy did get hurt, in fairness to Syracuse. I'm not sure that would have made a great amount of difference. I think they would have probably scored one or two scores. Clemson's just gotten more athletes than Syracuse does. Now the Orange face the prospect, if they want to go bowling, three games left in their schedule. They need to win two of the three. They are currently four W's. They need six to qualify. North Carolina State comes to the Dome this coming Saturday, a game that Syracuse should win. Even though Carolina State has flashes of brilliance, I think Syracuse will be favored, depending on Dungy's health situation. But SU needs that victory this week. The following week, Florida State Got a lot of great athletes as well. They'll come to the Dome. And, of course, they end up going on the road and taking on Pittsburgh, a team that has played decently some games, and some games they've been blown out. How do you look at it, Jimmy? You need two to go bowling. Carolina State looks like a winnable game.
The Clemson game, throw it out.
Yep.
They're far and above the best team in the ACC this year.
Yep.
Along with Louisville.
Louisville's tough, too.
Beat us pretty bad. But that was in the Dome, and we scored on them in Death Valley. So there's three games left. We need two of them. Florida State's beatable at home. Yep. I think Pittsburgh might be one of the tougher games.
Yeah.
But certainly they need to beat NC State.
Yeah, that's key.
And it's so important to get to a bowl game.
Bingo.
Because you get that extra month of practice with the team.
Yep.
And, at the end of the day, it really doesn't mean too much the whole college football bowl season. But if you're building a program, you got to get to the bowls.
So that's a big one. So all USU fans, brace yourself. You need two out of three, baby. And it reminds me of the classic Meatloaf song, which is one of my favorite all-time songs. A two out of three ain't bad. And that's a song that I play all the time. So SU needs two out of three to get to the bowl. Certainly we have no idea where that bowl would be, but it's a bowl game. And it's a lot of cash for the university and a lot of fan support that travels to these games. So keep your fingers crossed on SU. I made a comment on my Facebook page about Notre Dame, or is it Notre Shame? I know they're, I don't know if you're rebuilding out there or not, but sort of embarrassing. And nothing against Navy, but my God, they've played 54 times and Navy's won four of them. And unfortunately, they beat Notre Dame the other day. Kind of surprising, 28-27. Not sure if Kelly's under heat at South Bend, because that's a program that you don't expect to be even a part of the equation of being a decent team. And it's kind of shocking, to me anyways. Notre Dame gets some damn good athletes. And to see them lose to Navy just puts a punctuation point on the fact that Kelly's got a lot of work to do out there at South Bend.
People want to talk about how bad it is at Syracuse for football.
Bingo.
When you're Notre Dame.
You're Notre Dame.
And you've experienced some of the same struggles. And it's the same thing. They're a Northern.
Yep.
They're a Northern school in Indiana. There's a lot of these powerhouses like Alabama, for example, bring a little bit more to the table in terms of for a prospective high school student going to college. But I like seeing Notre Dame move out. I'm not a Notre Dame fan.
A lot of people aren't.
And you know what? Maybe it's time they stop needing to get all this preferential treatment because when they were in the Big East, they wouldn't join for football, would have saved the Big East Conference. The Big East Conference would still exist if Notre Dame was a full member. But now Syracuse goes to a new conference in the ACC, and it's the same thing. Notre Dame gets to get in all sports but football.
Yeah.
And it's crap. What's so special about Notre Dame? I understand the history, but it's 2017, and you're going to have trouble hitting .500 mark this year if you're Notre Dame.
I don't think they're going to get there.
Yeah, so.
What have you done for us lately? The old famous line in the world of sports, a dog with you on a Monday morning, a little chilly, a little ice on a pumpkin this morning when I got up, like 33 degrees.
Nice day today, tomorrow, though. Election day. It's going to be nice.
Oh, it's going to be gorgeous. By the way, I want to send out a special hello. If she's checking out the show this morning, I visited Fredonia to check on my granddaughter, Izzy. She's obviously a freshman at Fredonia. Great campus. And my wife and myself went down there, spent a weekend a couple weeks ago. And I went into my wife and my daughter and my granddaughter had this phobia about shopping. They love to shop. The dog, as I told you many times on my program, back when I did radio, now that I do this show, I'm not a shopper. I'm a guy that goes in and buys a shirt in 12 seconds or less, okay? I buy a suit in 40 seconds or less. I mean, I'm just not a guy that walks around malls. I don't like it. I find it boring. Now, I'm not saying that every man's like me, but women love to shop. Most women love to shop. So Mary and Samantha and Izzy went shopping for 3.5 hours. I went to an Irish pub called Heenan's. I had one beer, Jimmy, in 3.5 hours. One beer and two glasses of ice water, and watched sports on one of their 15 TVs. And a bartender there who is a junior at Fredonia, she's going to be a doctor, she tells me, and her name is Jessica. Outstanding young lady. Very pleasant. Spent a lot of time. She was giving me the peanuts and the popcorn, and I had one beer. I was pretty proud of myself. Usually I drink, 7 or 8 beers over a 4-hour span if I'm bored. But I want to send out a special hello to Jessica. She made my afternoon very pleasant and very fast-moving, by the way, until the girls picked us up to go to dinner. So kudos goes out to Jessica, and I'd like to do a shout-out to her this morning on the Weber Show. Well, I got to fill in before we get to some election. We'll do that after the commercial break and give you my slants and my endorsements and who I am picking. Let's talk about Tommy Tuberville. Tommy Tuberville, of course, a legendary college coach, like many of them are. They're not having a good year. Not the Bearcats are not having a good year. I think they're 3-5 or 3-6. They lost to BYU over the weekend. And Tommy, of course, one of the legendary coaches who's been around the horn many, many, many times for many, many, many years. He's probably making $4 or $5 million a year. Can you believe it? College coaches get that kind of money. Well, Saban gets about $8.5 million. And of course, but Saban wins about every game he plays. If you had that talent, me and Jimmy could coach Alabama. And by the way, speaking of Alabama, great win against LSU the other night. Nip and tuck, bare bones to bare bones, slugfest, boom, defense struggles. Beautiful. 0-0, 0-0, 0-0. Oops. Alabama scores. Good night, Irene. Add a field goal, 10-0 at LSU. Alabama, I swear to God, is just sensational. I know they got a lot of horses. Don't get me wrong, but they are amazing college football. And I don't even call them a team anymore. I call them a franchise. They just seem to never lose. Not to say they won't, but they got such an amazing Jimmy defense. Unbelievable defense. Yeah. They put the hurt on these guys and give credit to Saban. So, but Tuberville, back to him. When he was leaving the stadium the other day after losing to BYU, I think 21-3, another embarrassing loss, one heckling fan near the tunnel as Tuberville was going back to the locker room yelled repeatedly, "Retire. Get out of here. Give up the money. You're stealing from us. You're stealing from the university," meaning he's getting about $5 million or $4.5, $5 million a year to coach a team that's barely going to even get near 500. And this heckler just went ballistic on Tuberville. Well, most coaches, it's hard to do, but most coaches ignore the heckling fan. This was one fan, by the way. This wasn't 50 fans. This is one. It got underneath Tuberville's skin. And what did Tuberville do? He responded, called him a loser. "Get the hell out of my face. You're a deadbeater." Something like, "Get lost. Get a job." He went ballistic on the fan. Of course, it's on YouTube if you want to pull it up. But Tuberville lost it. And, of course, the AD comes to his defense over the weekend saying that he was in a no-win situation. And according to the AD at Cincinnati, he did not have a problem with Tuberville's response picking on a heckling fan. So you got to love the world, Jimmy, of the sports world. It is second to none. By the way, speaking of sports, big events, the Bills. Could it be 17 in a row without a playoff? Could it be? Guess what, folks? You think about a big game, they're on the road tonight, Monday Night Football showcase around the world. Seattle, who's not the old Seattle that you remember. No. Their defense is okay. Wilson is struggling at quarterback, throwing some INTs where he never used to throw them. Are they beatable? Yeah. The line doesn't say so. The line has it Seattle by 7 tonight against Buffalo. But here's the predicament the Bills, I think, need to win this game tonight and shock the nation. And really wouldn't be overly shocked, even though the line is 7. But the Bills are in a precarious situation. They're 4-4, okay? They got this game tonight in Seattle. Next week they travel to Cincinnati. Not a good place, even though Dalton doesn't get me excited as a quarterback. If they lose tonight, they're 4-5. And guess what? Miami is in better shape in the AFC East than Buffalo.
Yeah, big win yesterday for the Dolphins.
Oh, yeah, a big win for Bills tonight to stay pace. Raiders, my Raiders, who have been following since I was 8 years old, that's 63 years ago if you're keeping track, they're playing phenomenal. They beat up on Denver yesterday in Oakland.
Yeah, they won. Most impressive about the Raiders to me was the way their offensive line played against Denver's defensive line.
Amazing.
And linebackers. It was.
They took it to them.
They looked like a contender, Super Bowl contender yesterday.
Carr, the quarterback, looking good. So it brings me, because I've been a longtime Raiders fan. Everybody asks me, because I always pick on the Bills, who do you like, Weber? Well, I like the Raiders. I've been a Raiders fan all my life. I remember the days when Just Win Baby Al Davis was there, and they used to play some dirty football.
Ken Stabler and Jim Plunkett.
Oh, some classic names. And how about the Packers, huh? The Packers at home got blitzed by the Colts yesterday.
Yeah. Two kick returns.
It's amazing. And, their quarterback, I know he's well celebrated. He's not playing that effective. The running game is sporadic. So the Packers don't appear to be anything like they've always been. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. I just don't know about the Packer organization. All of a sudden, they're just scrambling. And before we take a commercial break, and then I'll do some politics and give you some of my slants on how I think some of these races and who I'm going to pick for. And again, let me repeat, if you just tuned in the Weber Show, my picks on who I am endorsing this morning on these elections mean nothing to Jim as far as Finger Lakes won. He's not endorsing them. This is my show, so I'm going to give you my picks. And you can take it with a grain of salt, which you probably do. But again, don't go after Jim and say, oh, that Weber guy's picked against me. By the way, let's talk about one thing before we take our break here. I want to send out kudos and congratulations to a friend of mine who I've known a long, long time. He's done a yeoman job. He's retiring, Doyle Marquardt. 39 years as the Waterloo police chief, is hanging it up. Well deserved, by the way. I've met Mr. Marquardt years ago, and it's hard to believe I'm older than Doyle. It's kind of scary that I'm older than Doyle. 39 years working in the law enforcement. Great guy, very even-keeled. I always liked him. When I used to know a few of the Waterloo cops, they got a lot of young ones up there now, so I don't know a lot of them. Thank God they don't pick me up to ask me and give me my license and registration. But Doyle always took the attitude, if me and Jimmy Santacropia are working for him as patrol people in Waterloo and we had to work a 3 a.m. shift until 11 in the morning, he would come out and do some of those shifts with us. If he got a call at 4:30 in the morning on Christmas Eve, he would go out. If there's parades going through Waterloo, which they do, a lot of parades in Waterloo, guess who's there directing traffic? Doyle Marquardt. So Doyle has done the yeoman work. He's done all the work that a regular first-year officer working for him would do. That's always impressed me. And he's just a good, true gentleman. Well, on Friday night at Club 86, they're going to celebrate his retirement. I'm going to be going to it along with my buddy Frank the Tank Eldridge, who, by the way, works for the Sheriff's Department and has worked for Doyle Marquardt, by the way. Might have been his first job as a part-time officer, now that I think about it. So I think there's going to be several hundred people attending that event on Friday night at the Club 86 celebrating Doyle Marquardt. I'm looking forward to it, looking forward to having a drink with Doyle. And kudos to you, Doyle. Job well done from Weber this week and from all of us here at FingerLakes1.com. Take a bow. You deserve it. This is Weber This Week. When we come back after our fine roll of our great commercials and sponsors have been with me forever, many of these people, we're going to do talking elections. Cayuga Lake National Bank. Visit Bill Ryan and his team for all of your banking needs. Offices in Union Springs and Aurora, a fine sponsor of this show for over 30 years. DA Liquor on Bridge Street in Seneca Falls. Amy Padula and her team will find the right spirit for you every time. When you stop in, tell Amy the dog sent you. Steve Wadhams and Wadhams Enterprises, your local employer of choice. Proud supporter of Weber This Week and local athletics. Fill out an application at wadhams.com. The Gould Hotel welcomes you to come out and enjoy the revitalization of this historic downtown Seneca Falls landmark. Every Wednesday is Ladies' Night with special price drinks and half-priced appetizers. Learn more at thegouldhotel.com. The Omen Theater on William Street in Lyons. See what's playing this week at omentheater.com. Located off New York State Thruway Exit 41, the McGee Diner has earned their reputation as a popular family restaurant, serving country fresh home-cooked meals daily. Stop in for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, and check out their menu at mcgeediner.com. Del Lago Resort and Casino will feature a luxurious 205-room hotel, several restaurants ranging from casual to fine dining, and a 2,500-capacity entertainment venue called The Vine. The casino will have 2,000 slot machines, 75 table games, and 10 poker tables. Visit www.dellagoresort.com. Seneca Metals is an award-winning company that has earned a reputation of going above and beyond to protect the environment and support their community. As an EPA inspector once said, their operation is head and shoulders above the rest. The Seneca Falls Country Club, awesome 18-hole layout, open to the public and a 12-month payment plan for members. Check out SenecaFallsCountryClub.com. NewsPicks.com. And the Newark Pilots of the Perfect Game Collegiate Baseball League, a minor league team with a major league ballpark. Season ticket packages available at NewarkPilots.com. And the Wilson Press in Seneca Falls. My good pal Rich Rickey and his team can handle all of your printing and mailing needs. Visit them online at WPress.com. Rich Rickey and Wilson Press, a fine sponsor of Weber This Week. Ah, yes. Thank you to those great sponsors. And again, I pinch myself every time I come in to do this show thinking about Padula's and Cayuga Lake National Bank. Been with me for 35 years. 35 years. Back when I did radio, Weber on Sports, and now here with Jim and Finger Lakes One. Pretty amazing. So I've had sponsors for over three decades. That only tells you one thing. A, they have been great supporters of my shows, and B, I am getting real old. Jimmy, election coverage here at FingerLakes1.com starts tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. You'll have a host of characters emceeing it and rolling out the dice like networks do. It should be a lot of fun. Look forward to seeing it.
Yeah, we'll go on at 8. Polls close at 9. We've got a lot of people lined up that we can talk to, and when the results start coming in, we'll give them a relay them live. It's one of the most popular live webcasts we do all year, and this year should be better than ever because we got a big race in the 54th. Got some key judge races and town races, and of course it's a presidential year.
Sure.
Now we won't probably cover the presidential campaign like they will on CNN, but you know, we'll give updates on that as well. So I think a lot of people might have us on the computer or tablet, and CNN or our ABC on the TV.
I'll be checking it out. Mary's doing the election as she's done for many, many years. Arriving tomorrow at 5 a.m. Wow, that's a long day. But she still enjoys it, and all the people working these elections. And by the way, it won't be rigged, okay? Not that it makes any difference in New York State because it's Democratic, as we all know, for the presidential side of it. Let me give you a rundown quickly before we get to my picks on who I am endorsing in certain races. Next week, we are expected to get a gentleman who I have not met personally. I've talked to him on the phone. Del Lago, we continue our beat with supporting Del Lago Resort and Casino, scheduled to open up February 1st of next year. Jeff Babinski and his team continue to hire members of his team, and we look forward to continue to bring in his executives and managers as they are hired. Frank Naborski, VP of Slots. We have got our fingers crossed that he'll be here next Monday, the 14th. Reason he may not be here is those 2,000 slot machines that the Lago's going to have may be arriving that morning. So you can understand if he doesn't show up. So myself and Jimmy will be doing something with sports. But again, I understand the situation. Those machines may arrive next Monday early. And if you're the VP of slots with 2,000 machines to get set up, I think you better not do the Weber show and stay at the casino. So we'll keep you posted. We'd love to have Frank Naborski come on. Longtime guy, VP of slots, and a lot of people are psyched about that. So, and then on the 21st, we bring in our district attorney. Haven't had him in about a year or so. Barry Porch will be here on the 21st of November talking about his workload and his great team that work to try to help out the public during crimes. And on the 28th, my good buddy, speaking of good buddies, Gary Schlegel, the owner of McGee Diner. Gary will be going to talk about the impact that casino will have and how he's tying his business in with the casino. And they're looking forward to that. And by the way, if you want to come on the Weber Show, it's real easy. We are just a, you know, click away. Just send an email to Jim or to myself, or give Finger Lakes One a call. Say you're interested in coming on my show. We do a 30-minute show, as you obviously know. I start at 9:30. We usually end around 10 a.m. in the morning. It's not a nerve-wracking experience. It's like talking to you in the living room with a cup of coffee or a Coors Light or a Sam Adams or whatever you want. Maybe a mixed drink. I don't care. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is we try to relax you. Any topic is certainly keep it clean. We'll have you in here. We'll talk about your topic. And again, just let us know and we'll book a date. We are pretty much booked the rest of this year, but let us know if you have an interest in coming on in 2017. We will schedule a date for you. Jimmy sends it to me, and then I will call you and book the date. So that's how easy it is. And topics galore. You know, it's real easy to get on this show. So people ask me all the time, I'd like to come on. Well, you got to follow up with me and let Jimmy know and then let me know, and then I'll check my schedule and we will book you. Okay, it's like the Hawaii 5-0. We'll book it, Dano. All right, let's talk about some of the elections. And again, these are my endorsements, only mine. I think, you know, this presidential thing has really kind of got under my skin. I think Jimmy and myself and many of you watching my show today are tired of it. two most unfavorable candidates in the history of politics and presidential elections. Oh, my God, what are they, 63, 62% unfavorable? But somebody's going to win the presidency. And, you know, I'm a Democrat. I was a Republican. I went to Democrat. I'm not so sure Trump can pull it out. I know he has a lot of red meat supporters. I get it. My sister-in-law, my nephew are diehard Trump fans. I run across Bob Hyson. Speaking of diehard Trump fans, he loves Trump. He's not going to do anything in New York. New York's a Democratic state. It's going to go Democratic. It's already decided. So, but my point is, I don't know if the Trump man can pull it out nationally. I know a lot of polls say a lot of states are closing and gap. But you know what? This Hispanic vote, folks, check out the papers. Check out your nearby TV station. They are coming out in droves. They're coming out like unbelievable. They're blowing Jimmy every mark in the history of politics. That is a big sector of our population. You put the Hispanic vote and 90% of it's going to Hillary. I don't know. I just got a hunch he's going to eke out a win. I've been wrong. I used to laugh.
You think Trump's going to win?
No, I think Hillary's going to win.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's going to be close. I think he's going to surprise a couple of people in certain states. I'm not so sure he can lose North Carolina. I think he may win. I don't know what Florida's going to do. I just got a hunch. He's got to pull seven inside straights, basically. Mm. Now, you and Jim and myself have sat down and played cards. Matter of fact, I played last night. I made a couple of bucks. How many times do you draw an inside straight? I'm asking you. How many times can you draw an inside straight? Yes, it happens once in a while. Think of Trump's situation. He's got to draw seven of them. Seven inside straights to be competitive. So I don't know if his magic can. There might be a hidden vote out there. I'm being told by a lot of people, people are going to come out and support him, and the polls aren't picking up that vote. We'll see. But my point is, I think Hillary's going to pull it out. Will there be gridlock in Washington? Oh, my God.
Who are you endorsing?
I'm going with Hillary.
Okay.
I think Hillary's going to pull it out. I don't know, not by much, but I think she's going to.
So she's got your vote.
I'm going to vote for Hillary.
Right.
But in New York State, it makes no difference.
Right. But
because it's going to be Democratic. Anyways, let's talk about the 23rd Congressional District. And that, of course, you know, we're talking about that is the 23rd Congressional District, Tom Reed. I'm going with John Plum. John, the Democratic challenger. I've not been a big fan of Reed. I think he's hooked up too much with the movers and shakers, and I'm going with John Plum is my endorsement. And also, I'm not a big fan of John Katko. I think John Katko, to me, hasn't done that much, and I'm going with Colleen Deacon, my selection, who I'm voting for. In the 54th State Senate District, I like Floyd Rayburn. I like Baldrige, but I also like Helming. So I'm going to throw my endorsement to Helming. I think Helming will win it. I think it'll be close, but I'm going with Helming.
Like all three of those individuals. They were up here
I know.
Individually
I saw it. It was great.
In our studio and then together for the debate in our studio. And I like them all. Like them all.
And as far as the Seneca Falls Town Board, I don't know. I've had mixed views on that. I don't know Mary Ceratori or Annette Lutz. I wouldn't know them if I ran across them on Falls Street. I think they have tried to do a good job being appointed to the town board in an interim basis, and now, of course, they're running from a vote standpoint tomorrow. However, I got a feeling that maybe we should put two people in with fresh eyes, starting off from ground zero. Yeah, the Seneca Meadow issue is huge. I get it. A lot of issues that we have to deal with in the town of Seneca Falls. So I'm leaning, and my endorsements are going to the two Republicans, Tom Ruzicka, along with my buddy Sweet Lou Farrar. And I'll be honest with you, I've been friends with Lou Farrar for three or four decades. I like what he does. I love his work helping out different people, the house, you know, the humanity, that scenario, building homes. He's leading the way, spending a lot of his time. So I'm going with Ruzicka, and I'm going with Lou Ferrara. And again, these are just my picks and who I'm going to be voting for. So we'll see how that all washes out at the end, and we'll see. And again, if you want to check out Finger Lakes One tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, we'll have full election coverage. I'm sure Jimmy and Josh Durso and many others will be around to do all that work. So again, ladies and gentlemen, enjoy your week, okay? Get out and vote tomorrow, okay? Get out and vote and do your citizen's responsibility. Don't sit home and nap. Get out and cast your ballot. So speaking for Jim Senecropi, the dog, bidding you a farewell, we'll catch you next week. We hope to get Frank Naborski in, the VP of Slots for Del Lago.